Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Anybody grew up in Sunday school, you remember the song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many... Okay, stop. There's nothing to do with the message at all. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, but I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus once. If you remember when Jesus was beaten before they hung him on the cross, that was the 39 lashes. Paul said, I survived that 5 times, not once. Said, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. This brother had a jacked up life, man. Looked like nothing but perils. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings. Let me pause here. Let me just tell you how I'm not as spiritual as Paul. If I had a struggle of finding food and I was starving at times, I would not follow the starvation up with voluntary fasting. Paul said, sometimes I was starving and had no food, and other times I just fasted. Paul, you're crazy. In cold and nakedness. And then he says, besides the other things. He's like, that's just like the main things. There was other drama too. I got time to talk about what comes upon me daily. And he said, here's this. You know what my deep concern is? For the church. He said, all that I'm going on, all the drama, he said, what's really on my heart is you. It's God's people. It's the church. Father God, we're grateful. God, we say this morning, Jesus, we need you. And we're so grateful, God, for all that you have done, God, in our past. But we know that you're the God that goes before us, God, and our best days are ahead of us. God, we pray even in this moment, God, that you would meet us in this house, that you would transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five 2 people. Tell somebody Jesus is in their place. Come on now, tell somebody Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, y'all, can y'all give it up for Bryce on the drums? It's his birthday. Bryce is 25. Man, I remember when I was 25, it was a while ago, like last week. So we're in the 4th week of a series that we're calling Impact Your World. And the entire heart or mindset behind this series is that God has called us as followers of Christ to have a kingdom impact. What does that mean? It means to draw people, to affect people's lives with the power of God. The only problem is having an impact on the world can seem daunting. I don't know about you, but it seems like every time that I turn on the news, which I try not to do often because for me, the news steals my faith, but every time I turn on the news or read a newspaper or whatever it may be, it just feels like there's so many problems. And when I think about how God has called me to be a solution to the problem, I don't know about you, but I never feel like I'm enough. I never feel like I have enough power, enough influence, or enough voice, or whatever it may be. And one of the things that I've realized is that God has not truly called us to change the world. He's called us to change our world. In other words, there's things in the world that we may not necessarily be able to influence, be able to affect, but there are things within our arm's reach. There are things within our lives. Maybe it's a coworker or a neighbor or on our job or someplace. There's things within our area of influence that we can have an impact on right now. And I've discovered as I focus not on the whole world, but on what God has given me influence over today, my influence will grow. It's almost like the verse where the Bible says, when you're faithful with little, he'll trust you with more. I think it's awesome and I think it's powerful when people get on airplanes and they go on missions trips to other countries and they build wells and they help people in orphanages and all that other kind of stuff. And we're believing that God's going to open doors so that as a church, we can actually take some of those trips. But I wonder how many homeless people on our own streets did we pass to get on a plane and go reach people in other countries? Not that the latter is bad, but we can't overlook the impact that we can have right where we are based on what God has already placed in our hands. I had a very rare occasion about a week ago. I was coming out of the gym. That doesn't happen often, but I was coming out of the gym and a young lady was coming in and she looked at me, and as soon as she looked at me, she started crying. Now, as Pastor Zai told you, I had that little face issue. We put the lights up so you can't see, but I have like little scars on my face. I'm actually a little self-conscious right now. And we're just like, gosh, am I that ugly? Like, people just cry at first sight. It's like, oh my gosh, he's so ugly. But I look at her and she starts crying. I'm just like, are you okay? And she's like, oh my gosh, you would not believe. I go to Destiny Harvest and I was just in my car listening to Sunday's message. I was on the phone talking to somebody. And then she just starts going about how God has transformed her life at this church. She said, I just got baptized a few weeks ago and I just felt like, man, just a piece of God came on me and all this other kind of stuff. And then she says, I heard that, you know, as the church has been helping in the community and Serve Day and all that, that you were actually involved in a group home where you were helping bless the kids and all that other kind of stuff. And she said, that was actually my story. I came up in a home like that and was affected by a lot of things. And I'm just excited to be a part of a church that is impacting kids that are where I used to be. Like, I am so grateful for what God is doing at Destiny Harvest Church. Listen to me. That is what God has called us to be as a church, to have an impact in the areas of influence that we can actually have. And I'm telling you, as we're faithful with what he's put in our hand, we're going to see him increase it. And one day we will be able to say, man, we made an impact on the world. We truly transformed people's lives. Before I jump into the message, I just want to give you two quick reminders. The first is that our impact offering is coming up in 2 weeks. And if you remember, it's your first time here. Every year, once a year, we receive an impact offering. And the goal of that offering is to accelerate what God is already doing here at Destiny Harvest Church. We have 5 different areas that we're focused on. The first is accelerating the projects of our church. The main one being moving into our new building. Come on now. It is on track. We should be in early 2018. Hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be able to give you guys a specific date. We have a church that's in the building right now that they're working on getting out, and they should be out by the end of the year. And as soon as they're out, you're going to hear from me. Fellas, grab a sledgehammer, grab some paintbrushes. We're going in. It's going to be a quick flip, and we're going to be right in. Another area that we're focusing on is building up leaders in the local church through Destiny Leadership Academy and our partnership with Highlands College. And then those missions we were talking about, the local missions between impacting those homes and shelters and different things, national missions, and then international missions. If you saw in Destiny Life, we're partnered with a church in Ashdod, Israel. Anybody know where Ashdod, Israel is? I didn't think so. You should look it up. It's right on the coast, right by the Mediterranean Sea. We've been partnering with Pastor Pakhtar there. He planted the first church in all of Ashdod, Israel. And now they're working on building the first church building in the entire city. Wow. Can you imagine a city where there is not one church who owns a building? Wow. They've been working on this building for a little bit over a year. And he says, we'll build for 6 months, and then the government will come with all these fake sanctions and all these things, these halts work just because of the persecution against the Christians. Wow. In God's land. How crazy is that?
But he says, as we're praying, as we're partnering, God is advancing the work, and it will be completed because of your generosity and the generosity of so many other churches. Last thing I want to remind you about is coming up on Christmas Eve, we are having a Christmas experience at Destiny. One of the things about Christmas is it's one of those times where people who don't normally go to church are like, man, I'm going to church for Christmas. I want to take some pictures with my kids, drink some Destiny Harvest spiked eggnog, and just have a really good time lighting. The eggnog in Destiny Harvest is no joke. But I encourage you, begin to prepare for that Christmas service. They've been planning it for months. There's actually going to be a string orchestra that's coming in and all these different crazy elements. There's going to be candle lighting. It's just going to be an awesome time just to celebrate the greatest gift we've ever received. And that's the gift of Jesus coming to earth so that we can have hope. Now, it is going to be a Sunday, which is Christmas Eve, so we're going to have our normal services at 9:30 and 11:15, but we're also adding a 5 p.m. service, one, just to make room for all the different people that are going to come, because this is just a time where a lot of people are like, hey, I want to be in church. I want to be worshiping God. The other thing is this. We know that you have a lot of family that's going to be coming into town, and maybe even people that says, hey, I'd love to come check Destiny Harvest out sometime, but I work Sunday mornings or whatever it may be. Well, we threw that 5 p.m. service in there so you can tell them you have no excuse. You get to work, get off at 4 o'clock, come in your uniform, the lights are dark, nobody will ever see you, come and worship Jesus. So I encourage you right now, start thinking about who you're going to invite, who you're going to bring that Christmas Eve service. Amen. Let's jump into the message. You know, my brain, just the way that I think, whenever it gets to about Thanksgiving, something flips inside of me and I switch from 2017 to 2018. Yeah, there's still 5 more weeks in the year, but there's something about me that, as far as I'm concerned, 2017 was great, and now I'm thinking about, God, what are you going to do next year? And I'm planning, and I'm strategizing, and all this other kind of stuff. And not that 2017 was a bad year, it's just I'm always kind of thinking forward. For some people, 2017 was your best year ever. You saw God move in your life. You saw dreams come to pass. Maybe things that you've been working on for years have come to pass. And you're just like, man, if we could do 17 over and just do it next year, that would be amazing. For some of you, you're like, I cannot wait to get out of 17. This year was not what I had hoped for. It was filled with disappointment or maybe heartbreak or setback or whatever it may be. Probably guess most of the people in the room, you're probably somewhere right in the middle. You have some really good points this year and some really low points this year. You're just like, man, God, more of the good and less of the bad next year would be phenomenal. If this is your first time to church, you'll realize really quickly that I preach. But one of the things I also do is I vent my frustrations. I don't have enough money for therapy, so I preach. And what I want to do is kind of just vent a frustration real quick, and then we'll get back to the Bible. One of my frustrations is that there's certain people, not everybody, but there's just certain people that whenever you talk to them, no matter how good their life is or how bad their life is, they are going to find something to brag about. They're going to find something to let you know that they are doing better than you are. And here's specifically the areas where I am doing well. And it can be the most, I mean, outrageous. Let me tell you something, okay? My company is ranked number one in all of the nation. We are the number one dog walking company in the entire nation. And not only that, I am the number one consultant in the number one dog walking company in the entire nation. Isn't God good? And you're like, I guess so. And sometimes they're a little bit sneakier with it. They're a little bit more just a kind of the backdoor approach. Hey, how's it going? You know, I'm good. Things are good. How are you? Well, you know, pretty tired. You know, ever since I got those 5 new clients and that promotion, it's just been exhausting. And then, you know, spending half my days washing my brand new car and, you know, cutting the grass in my new house. So it's just a lot. But it's good. It's good. It's good. I'm making it. I'm making it. If they're not bragging about themselves, and then I said this last service, some people got upset. That's okay. If your toes get broken, Jesus will heal your toes. Some people, if they don't brag about themselves, they're bragging about their children. And there's nothing wrong with bragging about your children. It's just, I don't. It's like, oh my goodness, let me tell you about my little boy. I'm telling you, he is in the advanced shoe tying class. His teacher says he's GT, he's gifted and talented. He is the best shoe tier of all the 12-year-olds in his school. I am telling you, this kid, he is just, And you're just sitting there, you give them kind of courtesy smile, courtesy laugh, or whatever it may be. And, you know, oh, pastor said I can't ever be happy about what's going on in my life. That's not what I'm saying at all. There's nothing wrong with being excited about your wins and sharing your wins with other people. You need people in your life that you can talk about what's going well in your life and not feel guilty or feel like they'll be jealous. The problem is when you are the only person you talk about. You hear those people that they call you, hey, well, I got to go now. It was great talking to you. And you don't tell the truth. So you're just like, yeah, but if you told the truth, you'd be like, no, actually, it wasn't great talking to you because I didn't really talk. You talked and you told me everything you had to say. And then you're hanging up now. In this passage that we opened up, Paul's bragging about all the good things that are going on in his life. The church of Corinth said, hey, there's other pastors, other apostles that think that they're just as good as you, Paul. And Paul's like, why are we having this competition about who's better and who's more gifted and all that? And he says, but if they want to go there, we can go there. And he starts talking about they're Hebrews, so what? I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, they're Israelites. I went on Ancestry.com, and I found out I'm an Israelite, too. Matter of fact, I'm the seed of Abraham. I trace my ancestry all the way back to Abraham. Like, he's just talking about everything that people in his community bragged about. I don't know what social circles you run in, but just imagine, what do the people around you brag about? Maybe it's a promotion, maybe it's a degree, maybe it's a new car or a certain net worth or whatever it may be. Paul said, you know, anything that they have, I'm right where they are. But halfway through his bragging, something shifts. He's like, I'm Hebrew of Hebrews, I'm an Israelite, I'm the seed of Abraham, and I've been shipwrecked 3 times. One of these things is not like the other. He said, I'm the seed of Abraham, and I've received 39 lashes 5 times. One time I was stoned to death. They had to raise me back to life. He said, I spent a day and a half out to sea floating on a piece of board. I've been bitten by snakes. I've been robbed. I've been abused. I've been mistreated. And he said, that's just on Tuesday. And I'm sitting here, and I'm just like, why is he bragging about the difficulties that he's been through? And then all of a sudden I realized that Paul wasn't really bragging. You ever played that game, Two Truths and a Lie? You're like, no, I've never played. You know, I've been to sleepover. Don't let your kids go to sleepover. But sometimes sleepover, you play Two Truths and a Lie, and someone says, hey, I'm going to make 3 statements. 2 of them are true, 1's a lie, and you have to figure out what's true and what's a lie. Like, for example, I'll give it to you. Here's 2 truths and a lie. First one, I went to University of Maryland College Park. That's true. Second one, I ate way too much food for Thanksgiving. And I actually went to my dad's house yesterday and I stole all the leftovers. Here's the third one. The day after Thanksgiving, I ran 15 miles. You guys are very comfortable. He's like, nope, that's the lie. That's clearly... As I was reading this, at first I was thinking, what in the world is Paul bragging about all these things? And then I realized that mixed in here, some of the things he was really proud of, and some of the things he wasn't bragging at all, he was just exposing how foolish the ambitions of other people were. He said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count, watch this, all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. What Paul was saying is the things that I used to pursue, the things that I used to take pride in, the things that I used to say, this is what makes me who I am. He said, those are no longer my pursuits. I count all those things as foolishness compared to my pursuit of knowing Christ, of him knowing me, and of the power of God being used in me to impact people's lives. Here's just a thought. Since you met Christ, have your pursuits shifted? Have your ambitions shifted? at the things that you feel valuable of running after. Before Christ, I was running after maybe a relationship. What I really need is just to be married. If I could just find somebody who would love me for the rest of my life, that would make me feel complete. Or, man, if I could just get this degree or just get this job or just get this or that. And it's not that those things are bad, but if they were your pursuit before Christ, and they are still your primary pursuit after Christ, I think we're missing something. Somebody's like, boy, he really kind of cranky after Thanksgiving, man. Turkey hasn't even settled. He's just coming for our life. What I want to do is I actually want to play that game with you today. I want to give you three truths and a lie. We have 3 points today's message. 3 of them are true. 1 of them's not. And I believe that what we find out is that what we think we're pursuing, we're actually... Now, pursuing. First thing is this, if you can't write this down, still write this down. First thing is this, I was made for impact. I was created. The reason why God, is this the truth or is this a lie? The reason God put me on the planet was to have a kingdom impact. Now, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to some Christians, they'll tell you, nope, that's a lie, Pastor. You were created to worship. I was created to worship. There's a song that says that, but I don't remember it, and I can't sing, so I won't. But I was created. I'm worship. You know why? Because worship's the only thing we're going to be able to do in heaven. Worship, worship, worship. So I was created to worship. Sounds spiritual, but was that why we were created? Other people say, you know, you were created to leave the world a better place than you found it. That sounds good. Sounds good. Leave the world a better place you found it. The world that God's going to destroy when he comes back. Yeah, leave that world a better place. Fine, that sounds good. It's like cleaning the house before your two-year-old comes home. You were created to make something of yourself. Don't embarrass me. You got a name. Make something your name. Maximize that name. You were created just to do good to people. As you just find people, do good, do good, do good, do good. All of these sound noble, but all of them can't be true. There's a specific reason why God created us, and we got to figure out what that is. My wife and I, we go on date nights often, and it's something we kind of just committed to. One, just to keep the romance going, but two, just to remind ourselves that Zoe doesn't run the house. It's difficult sometimes when you come home and there's nothing but toys and the screaming baby saying, feed me, and all this other kind of stuff. So we're committed. We go on these date nights, and we've gone to some really great places, and we've gone out to some really horrible places. One of the horrible places we went to, we only went once, and we never went back again. And this talking about it is probably even going to get me in trouble, because after first service, she said, I'm still not over it. I don't know why you brought that story up, but that's okay. We went to a museum. We went to the Museum of Modern Art. Now, you may not know me. This may be your first service, so let me explain something about Stephen. Stephen's not an artist. Stephen's not artistic. He's not poetic. I'm practical. I'm white and black, 1 + 1 = 2. I am, if you can't show it to me, that's just not my deal. I don't do feelings. I don't do interpretation. And I definitely don't do modern art. So we're walking through this museum, and my wife, who's the opposite of me, she thinks in poetry. She's just like, man, everything is art. And we're walking. She's just like, wow, wow, wow. And I'm just like, that's stupid. We walk up to this one. I can't even call it art. Let's just call it a display. And this guy literally took a piece of wood, drove some nails in the wood, wrapped some yarn around the nails. Voila. And I'm like, that's dumb. And she's like, no, don't you see how he expressed himself? I said, if that's himself, he's dumb. We're going from place to place. The worst one, we go to this, and I'm assuming some kid did it. It couldn't have been a grown adult who did this, but some kid went out to, like, every thrift store and got, remember the big box TVs, the one that you, like, shift, you got to hit the knob yourself? He went out and bought, like, 20 of these TVs and stacked them on top of each other, turned them all to a different fuzzy channel, by the way. It wasn't even HD, just fuzzy channel. I call it... space. minutes into this date, the date was ruined. I'm looking at everything like, it makes no sense. My wife is like, it's all beautiful. You make no sense. And we're like fighting over these dumb artists. And she's like, you don't understand what he's trying to represent. And I said, he doesn't understand what he's trying to represent. This is what I see. And she says this. She says, you can't tell an artist what they've created. Because the artist created it, they have the right to let you know what it represents. We can't tell the creator what he created. We were made by God. But yet everywhere we go, the people will be like, finally some preaching. This is good. He brought it back. Everywhere we go, people try to tell us why we were created when they are not the ones who created us. Thus, they have no right to define us. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. You were made. And that word workmanship, sometimes I feel like we feel like we're an afterthought to God. That God was just like, all right, a baby's coming. Pfft, there we go. No, the Bible says that when you were in your mother's womb, I don't care what the circumstances of you getting in that womb, when you were in there, the Bible says that God began to form and fashion your personality, your giftings, your talents, your passions. It says he knew you and he made you. He formed you. He said before you walked a day on this earth, he wrote out every detail of your life. God paid attention when he created you. You weren't an afterthought. You were a masterpiece of God. As if we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What? For good works, which God prepared before you were even born, that you should walk your whole life in them. Listen to me. The Creator created you to have an impact on this earth for his glory. He was so committed to you fulfilling your purpose here on earth that this is what he said. If you would seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, the reason why I made you, I'll take care of everything else. He said this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, here's one of the distinctions between people who don't put their faith in God and people who do put their faith in God. He said, people who don't put their faith in God, they have to worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear and where they're going to sleep and all this. He says, not you. If you would focus on why I made you, the impact that I've caused you to have, I will add all these things unto you. But because we've believed someone who was not the creator on what our purpose was, we're stressed out doing God's job. Because we don't want to do what he's called us to do. This is a verse in the Bible, Acts 17, 6. This is talking about Paul and his friends. It says this, they dragged Jason, a friend of Paul, and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here. Boy, if I could like jump out of my skin, I would tell you the purpose you were created was to turn your world upside down. Jesus did not die on the cross just for you to say a prayer. Get dunked under some water, and then go back to normal living. And somehow we've gotten into this mundane Christianity that Christianity is all about self-control. It's about not cussing, not getting angry, not doing things wrong and not being mean and not this and not that. Jesus said, no. When I hung on the cross and I said, it is finished, what I meant was everything that goes into changing who you are is finished. I'm the one who does the changing. Don't focus on that. What you need to focus on is having the impact, transforming people's lives for the glory of God. Your greatest point of fulfillment is going to be your point of impact. So many people live life feeling empty. So many Christians live life feeling empty. They say, you told me that if I got Jesus, I need King Jesus. Oh, what's the song? I'm embarrassing myself right now. Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Come on. Long, got no doctor, no lawyer, no preacher, no teacher. Long, as I got King Jesus, don't need nobody else. Well, that's not true. It's a good song, but it's not true. Because there's a lot of people, y'all laughing at me like this joker. There's a lot of people who have King Jesus, but they still feel empty. You know why you feel empty? Because you haven't figured out why King Jesus made you. And until you figure out why King Jesus made you, the impact that he has called you to have here on earth, you're always going to feel like there's something missing. And let me tell you, we live in a world that loves to fill the void with false purposes. Let me give you something that makes you feel good for a while, makes you feel fulfilled for a while, but it's only your identity, your purpose, why you were created by God that will fulfill. The second thing is this, write this down. Is this a truth or is this a lie? I don't have enough for impact. I don't know about you, but that sounds in church like it should be a lie. Whenever you're talking about not having enough and you're in church, instantly, I got more than I need in Jesus Christ. He's giving me all I need for life and godliness. We start bringing all the verses. You know, he'll supply all my needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. He has a Cadillac on 1,000 hills. That's what my translation says. It makes Christian sense that you would never not have enough. Because God is Jehovah. We start throwing out like Hebrew words we know. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He provides all my needs. So the truth is we can never not have enough because God's more than enough and he provides all our needs. But the also truth is that I never feel like I have enough. I'll tell you right now, out of 365 years, I feel good enough to be your pastor, maybe five of them. Every Sunday I write a message and it's like, God, I don't know if this is enough. I don't feel like I have what it takes to be a great husband or be a great father or be a great businessman or what. You ever noticed how every new door that opens, it comes with new fear? Do I have what it takes to maximize this? Could it be that God's given us more than we need? We just don't recognize it. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he, Jesus, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Watch this. God gives you two things. He gives you seed to sow and bread for food. Will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. It goes on to say, you will be enriched in every way. Another translation said, you will have more than enough so that you can be generous, that you can make an impact on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So the Bible says that God gives every single person on earth two things. He gives them seed to sow and bread to consume. And with the seed sown, he increases the harvest so that you have more than enough so that whenever the opportunity comes up, you can make a kingdom impact. Now, I like to start drama with people. If you haven't discovered, it's one of my spiritual gifts is to antagonize. And I feel like the only time when children were really children, where childhoods were real, was between the late 80s and the 90s. The only real people on earth are people born late 80s, early 90s. You're like, well, I don't agree with that. Well, here, let me just make my argument. People born before the 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, all y'all crew, you guys didn't have a childhood. You started working at like 12 years old. You got married at 14. Like, you just skipped the whole child deal. You just went straight to the home. I was like, yep, he's actually right. All you jokers who were born in like 2001, all that kind of foolishness, that's not a childhood. I mean, you grew up with an iPad in your crib. What is that? You have no idea what dial-up is. That's a foreign word to you. You don't know what it's like to be on the internet and your dad picks up the phone and is like, ah! Don't clap. You don't know anything about that. You've never seen that before. You've never been lost without MapQuest. You have no idea what it's like to be lost. Am I right? I grew up in the days when Xbox was go outside, draw an X. Remember the little chalk on the driveway and a box, and there's your X and there's your box, and stay out there until the streetlights come out. That's when kids were kids, when we kept scores in T-ball. Not none of this foolishness, everybody's a winner. No, I won, you lost. Everybody does not get a trophy. I grew up in the days when nobody cared about salmonella poisoning. There was no like, oh, don't eat, there's raw eggs in that. No. My mom would make cakes, and there was like five of us, and we would harass her until she allowed us to like lick the, you know, the spatula. We'd start with the spatula, and then we'd go on to little blendy things. And when those were lit clean, we'd just go straight for the finger. Some of you are worried about double dipping chips. Try double dipping a finger. Just all the germaphobes are just like. And mind you, there was five of us. So when we're like eating the batter out the cake, we're like going at it. And finally, my mom would say, that's enough. Because if you eat too much of the batter before you bake it, there won't be a cake to bake. The Bible says that God gives us seed and bread. The only problem is if we don't know what's bread and what's seed, we could end up eating the seed and have nothing to sow. And then when it's harvest time, there's no harvest because we ran out of seed. Everything that you have is either seed or bread. Wow. Historically, you've always heard it in terms of the mindset of finance is money. Every time you get paid, part of it is bread to be consumed unto yourself. Part of it is seed to be sown, not just into the kingdom of God, but seed to be sown into your retirement, seed to be sown into your kids' college fund and all that other kind of stuff. But listen to me, it's not just money that's seed and bread. It's your time that's seed and bread. Every single one of us, we get 24 hours a day. And listen, out of those 24 hours, some of it is bread. Some of it is time to invest into ourselves, to build our career, to make our own income or whatever it may be. But some of that time every day is supposed to be seed that we sow into growing our relationship with God. Seed that we sow into our spouse or to our children or to the ministry that God's called us to. And if we get mistaken and we consume all that time, or we consume all of that degree, or we consume all of that influence, or we consume all of our 20s or our 30s or whatever it may be, we're going to find ourselves when it's seed sowing time, we have no seed left. We've consumed it all. And when we're looking for a harvest to be able to bless people, to have an impact, there's nothing there. Can I give you an example? There are certain seasons of life where you can afford to spend 2, 3, 4 hours a day in prayer. That season is not when you have a 2-year-old. A 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, or an 8-year-old. Tracking? But you're going to need the harvest of that prayer when you do have a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old. So if you did not spend that time in prayer when you had the season to sow, when you need to make the harvest, this is good old Bible preaching right here. My parents told me when I got married and when my siblings got married, we were praying for your spouse the day you were born. Why? Because they were sowing seeds that they know if I wait until they start dating some raggedy looking choker and start throwing up some Hail Mary prayers, it's way too late. But if I sow seed now, are you tracking with me? But here's the deal. God, I'll read one more verse and we're going to land this plane. Matthew 13:22 says this. Now he who received seed. So God gives you more than you need, but it depends on how you receive it. He said, if you receive seed among the thorns, is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he has no harvest. He becomes unfruitful. So God gives you more than you need. He gives you seed. But the Bible says it depends on the type of heart that you have when you receive from God. The Bible says some people have a heart of faith where they believe, man, God's going to do great things in my life. Some people, your faith is choked out by the cares of this world and by the deceitfulness of riches. What's the deceitfulness of riches? Riches just lie to you and tells you, as long as you have enough of me, everything's okay. Money fixes every problem. It's not true. I don't care how much money you have. If you get sick, you can't write a check to get healed. You could send up a prayer, and the healer can respond, but Wells Fargo can't help you. Leave that one alone. But he says other people are choked out by the cares of this world. This is where I'm not going to be a pastor, I'm going to be a father. Is that okay? The cares of the world are real. Sometimes we read these verses, we're like, oh, that's just some like baby Christian that they, you know, they just care about, I don't care about the cares of the world. I'm not of this world. I'm an ambassador for Christ. You start throwing out random verses. The cares of the world are real. I was thinking about this message. I was like, what do people care about? Well, when you're in high school, you're focused on, man, can I get into college? And how am I going to pay for it? And then once you get into college, it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get out of college. That's the goal, by the way, some of y'all. Okay, now I'm out of college. Oh, goodness, I got to get a job. I hear all this craziness about the economy and job laws. Oh, boy, I got to get a job. Oh, my God, I got a job now. Okay, man, I got to pay off these student loans. Or I got to get a house or I got to get a car. And, oh, my gosh, and you got your car now. You got your student loan payments going. You got your job. Oh, crap, I'm single. I'm lonely. I'm miserable. I got to get me a husband. I got to get me a wife. I can't be alone. This is horrible. Oh, my gosh. Just... And you go out on the prowl, you start hunting, you find somebody, you grab them, you marry them, and you get married, you go on the honeymoon, you wake up the next morning like, okay, now we have to have kids. Whoa, we just got here. So now we're trying to have kids. Oh my goodness, they tell me I can't have kids. Can I have kids? Oh no, first kids comes. And can I tell you, because we're kind of in the stage right now with the second child, when you get pregnant, their goal is to scare the snot out of you for 9 months straight. That is the goal. This is just, there is a test every week. We have to test to see if your kid has 6 toes instead of 7. Oh gosh, I didn't even know they could do that. So if you make it through the 9 months in your right mind, then the baby comes. And you know that lie you seen on TV? Like you have the baby and then they come and they check the car seat. And they didn't do that. They kicked us out the hospital. They said, there's more babies coming. Y'all got to go. I said, are y'all going to check this car seat? I'm like, no, go. I've never done this before. Oh my gosh. Then you spend the first 3 months of your first kid's life trying to figure out, am I going to mess this joker up? Are they eating enough? They're not eating enough. They're tongue tied. Oh my gosh, what's going on? And then they grow up and now they're not talking and you're like, oh gosh, can they walk? Can they talk? And cares of the world. Then you finally have a kid. You have the second one. You have the third one. Oh my gosh, we got to get them into school. We got to get into that school district. I got to get a house in that school district, because if they don't get in that school district, then they're not going to be smart. If they're not smart, they'll never go to college. They're not going to college. They live in my house till the day they die. And I don't want them out the day I die. I got to get into this place. And you get them. You all folk, I get into that school district. Once you're in that school district, oh goodness, they're going to college. How am I going to pay for college? Why did we have so many kids? Got to pay for college. And you get them out the door into college, and then all of a sudden you pay for college, and they're out in college and on their own life. And oh gosh, who are they going to marry? They can't marry a criminal. I got them. I should have been praying for their spouse, and you finally get them off married, then you're like, oh gosh, retirement. I didn't even think about retirement. You start scrambling and Ponzi schemes and selling swamp land, and you're just trying to figure out, how am I going to get retirement? And then all of a sudden, now retirement, I got to get health insurance. Nobody's going to insure me at this age. And can I help you out? The cares of the world never end, and they will choke out your faith unless you make up in your mind, the God who saved me will keep me. He who began a good work will see it through to completion. He has a solution for those problems. So I will not become consumed on those problems. I'm going to become consumed on what he has called me to do. If you feel like you do not have enough, it is because you are consumed with your problem. Instead of consumed with the problem solver. Wow. Last thing is this, write this down. You could come out and play. We're gonna land this plane. You ever been on a flight and the pilot's like, we were gonna make up time in the air? That doesn't sound safe. Like, why are we making up time? This may be a little bumpy, but we're gonna land this thing. Here's the last one. By the way, number two was a lie. Somebody asked me, which is the truth? That's a lie, you have enough. Last thing is this, I must first be impacted. Okay, Pastor, I got not a care in the world. It all belongs to God. And I was made to have a kingdom impact. I'm ready to run out this door and I'm going to start a nonprofit. I'm going to change the world. I'm ready to make an impact. Not so fast. You actually can't impact anybody for the kingdom of God unless you first have been impacted yourself. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's the kind of impact that God's calling us to have. No pressure. You just go out and heal sick people. Cleanse those who have leprosy, raise the dead, cast out demons. Go get it done. See you guys next Sunday. He said, freely you have received, now freely give. What comes first? Receive, and then give. I was a pastor's kid growing up, so I grew up in a quite sheltered life. I never went clubbing. I've never been to a club, actually. What? Yeah, believe it or not. My mommy told me that's where demons were, so. She wasn't half wrong either, actually. Somebody was like, yeah, I was there last night. I saw a couple of them, tell you. It was just... Destiny Harvest. So for me, fun in the college was me and my friends, we would go to these Christian concerts, and we'd worship till 1 in the morning, sowing seeds that I'm reaping a harvest of right now. And then after those concerts, we'd get in a car, and we'd all go to IHOP. So we could study the Bible together. Nope, so we'd get numbers and find wives. That's what the point of IHOP. We weren't that safe. I remember this one night, we were leaving this concert in like bootleg Samaria, PG County, like Forestville or somewhere out like that. And it was like, hey, let's go to IHOP. And I'm not from there. I don't know anything PG County. And we got like six cars. They said, hey, let's go to IHOP. So I'm the second car in line, and I'm following the car in front of me. There's five people following me. I'm following the guy in front of me. The guy in front of me knows where he's going. So we get to this red light, and the guy in front of me, he drives like Jehu. He's speeding. So he flies through the red light, and I'm like, I just crashed my last car. So I see that red light turns green. By the time it turns green, I can't see him. So now five people are following me to a place I've never been. We didn't make it to IHOP, y'all. We drove around PG County for about 30 minutes. We're like, you know, whatever. We're going home. It's 1 in the morning. I don't think she was going to like me anyway, so let's just call it a day. And we just, why? Because I could not lead people to a place that I've never been before. I find that there's kind of two people in the world. There's people that are not really focused on impacting anybody for the kingdom of God. They're just on their own ambitions. And there's other people that they want to have a great impact, but they've never been impacted themselves. And you can't lead people to a Savior that has not impacted your life before. Now, I'm not talking about do you believe in God, because almost everybody does. I'm not talking about do you go to church or you read your Bible. I'm talking, has God ever so radically impacted your life that he so rearranged the trajectory of your life that the things that you once thought valuable, you no longer find them valuable. The things you used to brag about, you now see food. Has he so interrupted your life that he shifted your attention for eternity? You see, when it says heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Yes, it's talking naturally, but it's talking spiritually more so. Have you allowed God to heal a sick heart? Leprosy represents people that were an outcast of community. Have you ever had the scenario when you realize that I am outside of the presence of God? I'm sitting in church with people worshiping, tears coming down their face, talking about a God that I cannot feel, hear, or see. And I don't understand what's going on. That's what it means to have spiritual leprosy. He says, have you ever been brought back to life? Not naturally. Maybe you're like Paul, you got stoned to death and they prayed for you. But maybe like every single person, you were spiritually dead. Have you ever had that moment where God brought life to your soul? Pastor, I got the first three. I don't know about that demon-possessed one. I don't know about that at all. Well, we'll just leave that alone. Are there chances that God broke off anger, insecurity, fear, pride, lust? Got to throw one bad one in there. God says, after you've been radically impacted by me, then you can turn around and have the impact on this earth that you were created to be. Let's be the creation that the Creator made, not one that society has renamed. Can we pray? Father God, we're so grateful God, that of every single person in this room, none of us are an afterthought. God, you made each and every one of us on purpose for a purpose.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.